Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Right, so in our previous episode, we've gone over explaining all the different types of investments that you could consider. Today, we would like to link that back to giving you some actionable steps and reflecting it on your own journey and your situation. Hopefully, before you've come to listen to this podcast, or if you haven't yet, then we would like to suggest for you to please visit the show notes and take the quiz. It's a fun quiz that helps you understand where you stand in terms of your own risk appetite, and we would be linking it back to the options that we present today.
Risk is a huge topic, right? My entire experience of 12 plus years within the asset management banking space, I've focused on risk and quantitative analysis. And so I'm really going to have to hold back in terms of information. And so if it gets too technical, I apologize in advance.
We love to get the technical bits out of you, Rupali. Don't worry. So what is your risk appetite? What do we understand in terms of your risk appetite, your risk tolerance?
Right. So there are two parts of risk appetite. There's the ability to take risk and the willingness to take risk. Ability is very much dependent on your current situation, your income, your expenses, your commitments, whereas your willingness is a little more subjective, and we all have personal preferences around how we deal with risk.
Exactly. And I would also like to point out that based on whatever you got from the quiz, or whatever you consider yourself as, whether you consider yourself as a low risk taker, as a medium risk taker, or a high risk taker, you may feel differently from where you were, say, 10 years ago, and it might continue to change in terms of time. You may feel differently in different aspects of lives, so you may be okay with a little more risk, say, on your pocket money fund or your fund, let's call it. Whereas your retirement fund, you may be a lot more serious about, or your kids' education funds, you may be a lot more serious about, and you don't want to mess with it. And so you choose low-risk instruments.
As Kalyani mentioned, risk is very specific to where you are. And for this reason, this quiz that you may do or you will do is linked to where you are today. And for this reason, it's really important to revisit this kind of assessment every 1 to 2 years, or if you have big changes in your situation and your life circumstances.
I think also one basic kind of concept that I want to make clear at this point is safer investments yield lower returns on an average, whereas riskier investments tend to lure people in with the temptation of a higher reward. So they tend to yield a higher rate of return. This is the basic assumption that we're going to go into this episode with.
And what this discussion helps you do is put perspective to what kind of return expectations you have, and within your risk tolerance bucket, what is a realistic expectation of return?
Exactly. All this kind of getting to know your risk tolerance, getting to know yourself, where you stand, comes down to setting your expectations. So if you are a low risk taker, or if you're quite risk averse in a specific kind of area of life, then you can't expect for your fund manager or instrument to kind of aim at double digit growth, for example. Because it would not be authentic to your goals, it would not make you feel comfortable, then you will have this palpitating kind of feeling within you, which is not what investments are supposed to make you feel.
I think just to repeat in terms of what we mentioned around financial advisors in the previous episode, is that they're there to really look into your specific financial situation, where you're at in your life, and your thoughts around risk and return. And this is where they bring in value in terms of really customizing what you need out of your investment portfolio.
Whereas we are aiming to bring the control back into your own hands. So now that you've understood your own risk appetite, let's go into where you kind of want to place yourselves in terms of how to start investing.
So I think of a question that I'd like to ask even before we get into that is, what is risk, right? We went into risk tolerance, ability, and willingness, but what is risk? Risk is generally spoken about in terms of volatility, which is the fluctuation of the value of your investment. In other words, positive and negative returns on your portfolio or investment. But risk could mean a lot more. So context is extremely important. Volatility may be an irrelevant measure to cover all the different types of risks. Some risks are liquidity risks, such as how easily can you access your money from that investment, right? You get your cash, you get your deposits, but then you get illiquid investments, which may have a horizon of 10 years. And so that illiquid risk comes at some kind of return that you should get for it. And so you have different types of risks that we consider within this framework.
And once again, this is such a big topic and it's so subjective, like we've said already. Two people earning the same amount of money, having the same goals, will have two totally different risk appetite and will go about making their investments work in totally different ways. So there can be no comparison in this case. For example, a lot of traders in my trading community would be okay with risking $1,000 with the same size of capital. Let's say their funds are about $50,000 and they're only okay to risk $1,000. In this case, they should have a realistic expectation in terms of the returns that they are going to get, which would probably be to the tune of 3-5%. Whereas if you're okay to risk, say, 25,000 out of the 50,000 that you have, you could possibly look at a much higher rate of return, but also with the possibility of losing those 25,000. It's where your comfort sits is what we're trying to identify here.
For individual investors such as you and I, intellectual and emotional tolerance for potential losses are very, very important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I find there needs to be a balance between an amount that's exciting but not putting pressure. And I think this very much comes from, let's take it step by step. You know you want to invest, but before you go into any investment, and the quiz kind of takes this into account as well, if there are any monthly expenses that you're aware of, if there are any quarterly expenses that you're aware of, first of all, make sure that you have liquid assets that are able to cover that easily. Once that's taken care of, then let's consider investments and your goals from it. So that's step number one. Step number two, let's try and figure out what your goals are. Goals can be identified or put on a graph between urgency and importance. So basically, if there's a goal that's, let's say, paying for your child's birthday party, it may be coming up pretty soon. So it might have a time factor, an urgent time factor, but your child is, let's say, 3 years old. And in the bigger picture of things, it may not matter so much whether you take them out for a movie or you host a big party. I'm just taking a random example here. It's high on the time factor, urgency factor, but not as important in the bigger picture. Whereas if you have something such as an education fund and your child's once again 3 years old, you've got another 15 years before you need to use that fund. You are pretty risk averse, like you don't want to mess with it. You don't want to invest in very kind of risky instruments. But so it's important. It's high on the importance factor, but not as urgent in terms of timelines.
Right. And this is the scale that is very important to understand in terms of your specific circumstances. For example, your retirement funds are super important. They're a long time away, whereas something that's more immediate, such as within this year, that's very important to you in terms of priorities, there you have an extremely low risk tolerance versus something that's further away. So this is a very subjective scale in a way, and it's very, very specific to each individual.
Exactly. Now, it might be important for someone to buy a hairdryer, like it is for me currently. Or it might be, and it might be very urgent as well. Or you might have a holiday.
That's pretty important and urgent. I mean, come on.
You can't go out with wet hair. Or you might have a holiday that's coming up. Or you might want to work up to a holiday. Let's say if you're in your 40s or 50s, then retirement looks closer to you than it does in your 20s or 30s. In your 20s, you might want to fund another degree. You might want to educate yourself further and save up for that. In your 30s, you may have had a child, or you may want to invest in property, you may want to save up to that. So there can be so many different goals with different kind of time scales and importance that pertain to you. So that's step number two, to know where your goals stand in terms of the importance versus urgency scale.
Another important point on this discussion of risk is it's very, very relative. And so at each point in time, like we mentioned, cash, for example, loses money. So that's the risk there. Whereas something that's extremely illiquid, like a 10-year long-term investment, has a different type of risk. So risk is very relative. You're exposed to risk whether you're investing or not. So the choice that you're making is which risk level you're comfortable with, which assets get you there in your portfolio. So you may have some less risky assets, you may have some more risky assets, but overall, that risk should be aligned with your risk tolerance.
Yeah, and I think something to tie back to my personal experience, growing up, there was a lot of chatter around risk, especially around markets being risky, in my personal experience. And when I started trading in the stock markets, this was one big resistance that I had to work through in terms of what if I lose this amount? What about the risk that I'm taking up? Does this kind of equate to gambling? But I had to really educate myself and kind of pacify myself, thinking that there is risk involved in anything you undertake. You wake up in the day, there's risk involved in whether you can take the next step, whether you take your next breath. Not getting so philosophical in any kind of investments that you undertake, even if you start a small business on your own, there's a big risk involved. In your job, there's a risk involved of receiving your salary, losing your job. So that's a risk. There's a certain amount of risk that we need to learn to make our peace with.
And how do you go about that, Kalyani? What do you suggest someone does other than this quiz in terms of the mind work, in terms of energetics, bringing it back to energetics mindset and what we're able to digest, what we're not able to digest? How do we go about that?
So I never thought about this for myself, but I've been told that I'm a pretty high risk taker, and it has been a revelation even to myself in terms of my career choices. Entrepreneurship or trading isn't very hard for me to get my head around. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think this really goes to show, right? Risk is so relative. So if your group of people around you, if their baseline is trading, entrepreneurship, then you may come across as a person that doesn't take risk. Whereas if the baseline of people that you hang out with are more people that are very safe, only cash, deposits, you know, very, very safe investments, and you buy stocks, then you come across as overly risky. This is why comparing yourself with your friends and your family may not be the best thing for you. This is where the objectivity, this is where these platforms add value.
Yeah, absolutely. I think now, to make it really fun and interesting, let's have some personas that we talk in terms of. Once again, I love friends. So let's talk in terms of the friends' characters that are also the personality results on the quiz. So let's paint Monica's personality. I would say she's quite conservative. Her source of income is from her steady job. And she has a family, she has some property investments, and she basically relies on the cash flow from her job. She wants to get into investing. She's got long-term goals of putting some money aside for her retirement funds, for her children's education funds. What do you suggest for a person like this?
A person like this seems to have low risk tolerance, right? And so low risk tolerance means you're on the safer end of the spectrum. The cost at which that comes is that your expected return or the amount of money you expect to make is at the lower end of the spectrum. Low does not mean bad, as long as you're in your comfort zone around risk tolerance.
So from what Rupali just mentioned, I got reminded of the concept of compounding, which we haven't yet touched in our podcast. Basically, the way it works is when you are earning interest on an amount, let's say the amount that you've put into your account is £1,000, $1,000, and you're earning 5% monthly. The 5% may not seem like a big number, but actually it really tends to compound, because on in the second month, you've already earned the 5%. So your capital has grown to 1,050 already. So the 5% for the second month is then applied on the 1,050 instead of your seed capital, which was $1,000. And then this carries on. So 5% monthly, you might multiply by 12 to assume that you end up at 60% annual growth. But actually, with compounding, it translates to 79.6, so nearly 80% growth.
Yeah, to explain what 79.6 means is that 100% return means you've in effect doubled your money.
Exactly. So at 5% monthly growth, your $1,000, let's stick to dollars, comes up to $1,800 at the end of the year, which is an amazing rate of return if you think about it, right? So being risk averse and adjusting your risk expectations accordingly is actually quite empowering.
Yep, exactly.
Moving on to the second persona, which is Ross, as a moderate risk taker. Let's assume that he's also in a job, in a stable job, but has started to kind of diversify by taking up some stock investments. And he, again, has very similar long-term goals. He doesn't have any property investments yet. And these are just personas that we've kind of come up with. You can map yourselves between these personas as you see fit. So what do you suggest for someone like Ross, Rupali?
So someone like Ross could still have a bigger portion of their investments in safe investments such as cash, but increasingly start introducing some more riskier types of investments such as stocks or even other real assets.
Perfect. The next persona that I have is Chandler. Let's term him as a moderate aggressive risk taker. So somewhere in between a moderate and an aggressive risk taker. And he also, let's imagine him having a freelance contract with his company, and he's got a good kind of cushion of savings, and he's starting to invest in a side business. He's got long-term goals, he's got a family that he wants to provide for in the short run. So a mix of short-term and long-term goals, what do you suggest in this case?
Someone like Chandler could have even more stocks in his portfolio, for example. If he meets criteria, bonds could play the role of relatively safer investments. If his risk tolerance and his targets allow, he could even take on more illiquid types of investments.
Perfect. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have Phoebe. Let's term her as an aggressive risk taker. She has jumped from her job into her business full time. Sounds a bit like me. But she has the same long-term, short-term goals. So I think in terms of goals, we've stayed quite neutral, which is probably the case over a large part of the population. But she has the same kind of tendencies for growth. What do you suggest for her? She wants to see results now. Yesterday.
So in terms of her risk tolerance, she's the best positioned in terms of being able to take on a lot more exposure to stocks, derivatives. Derivatives are a different type of investment that gives you exposure to stocks, but with leverage. So you earn multiples of that return in essence. So that is quite risky. And for someone like Phoebe, that would fit in very well, given that she's got a well-balanced portfolio that is diversified. I would recommend that no one goes in with all their money in a particular stock for diversification reasons, as discussed in our previous episode, where you do not want to put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, I think I would really like to mention all the crypto millionaires from 2020 and 2021 that became all the rage. And we don't know, luckily, anyone personally who's done this. But on the internet, we came across a lot of people in those 2 years, especially, who kind of took their entire savings portfolio and invested it in crypto. Some hit the jackpot, but I think a big majority have horrid tales to tell.
Exactly. This really, really highlights real life examples of why diversification is that important, because no matter how excited you are about a particular asset, a particular industry or a country, you just don't know how it will play out.
Yeah, what I try and do myself as well is if I know there's something risky, then I'll put an amount that I don't mind losing. So if it earns, then that's a bonus. And if I lose that amount, then that doesn't give me sleepless nights or that doesn't take away from my mortgage, loan, commitments, etc.
Right, exactly. A big one in this discussion is the fact that when you're taking any form of risk, the big thing is to understand is, are you being compensated for that risk? And if you're being compensated for the risk of potentially losing all your money in that particular investment, then that's the assessment, that's the discussion you need to have with your financial advisor.
And I think to summarize all of this, we are trying to identify our options so that any earnings that we're making, our income grows for us. It grows with us and helps us take some pressure off in terms of creating that additional cash flow. And we've established that leaving cash in the bank while the inflation rates are as they have been only leads to a fall in their value. So all these investment instruments are just giving us an option to kind of help us grow. There's always an option to not be invested in any of these. We often tend to say cash is also a position in trading. So if you're not comfortable, keep your cash as it is. Please do not listen to rumors or WhatsApp messages and get into any investments. That might be the worst thing that you could do. Once again, now that you know the concept of risk, the person sending you the WhatsApp message or on your chat community, wherever you kind of get this information from, might have a very different reality and a risk tolerance compared to yourselves.
And unfortunately, the world is full of all sorts of people, right? I mean, you get very few people that are authentic about what they say. What they say is not necessarily what they do. And so it's extremely important to make sure you get your information from credible sources and reliable modes.
So up until now, we've gone into all different modes of investments that are generally available to retail investors. We've then dived into the big concept of risk and what that means in kind of reflecting it back to yourselves. Hopefully with these two concepts, you're able to tie it back together for yourselves and see where you fit in terms of where your goals fit and where you would like to start. In our next episodes, we would love to highlight steps with which you can start, but this itself should have set a good foundation to give you more of a reality check.
I think in the meantime, what you're already able to do, which is quite exciting, is one, you're able to understand your risk tolerance through the survey that Kalyani shared. And secondly, you're able to assess, okay, where is my money currently? And the fact that your bank account contains cash, please don't just look at your investment portfolio with some financial advisor separately to your bank account and separately to your house. It's all one, it's all your wealth, and so that is your portfolio regardless of what form of reporting you get from who.
You've also got a third tool from our last episode where we've taken you through the financial coaching aspect, whereby you've been able to put your mindset into the picture as well. And we do encourage you to not give this any less importance than you do to the numbers. Before I finish this episode, I would like to reiterate that we're not here to give any particular financial advice. We're just here to share information and equip you with this knowledge to have these intelligent discussions within your community, in your house, with your spouse, with your financial advisors, and make up your mind intelligently about what you want your money to do.
It's really about awareness, isn't it? Whether it's energetics, whether it's your money, whether it's information, you want to have information from credible sources. You want to understand what information you have.
So here's to all the fantastic females who hopefully by now feel full of confidence, excitement, and awareness to manage their personal finances.
We know we're excited, so here goes.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females.